CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. The fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, nerdcore artist, the persona.
How's it going, what a do?
Where's the jacket? I missed
I'm slumming it today in my Crunkless shirt.
I missed the FF8 bomb.
I thought about dressing up today. I thought about dressing up like my album cover.
Let me see what the album looks like.
I meant to bring you the sealed wrapped one.
Oh,
that's
my
the
God.
One that's been in my car. What that was like the
holy crap!
The test
this
drive.
Is actually. This is, there's a UPC code on this. This is legit.
Oh, thanks.
I don't mean that in a bad
legitimate,
way.
Legitimate UPC code.
Well, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean like this is legitimately an album, but I mean more of the idea that I because I see so many different like albums from mm-hmm. some friends and in various, and I've had so many different, like there have been artists at showcases that have had burned CDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's a thing.
There's nothing wrong with that. I have no.
You're starting out. You got to do what you got to do.
Right. And again, I have no, like honestly, this was funny. So not, we'll talk about this in a second, but I was reading an article on Japan Times, and it was this weird moment of reading an article that could only happen in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a sign of like, in a weird way, the time. So there's a idol group. I think it's like AKB48, or it's like one of the bigger existing idol groups mm-hmm. still. And like, you tell me if this sounds like a bubble to you. in terms of a music bubble. So to get to they typically will add to these idol CDs, these singles,
mm-hmm.
that if you buy the single, you get to you get like the proof of purchase, a serial number, mm-hmm. whatever, that lets you vote on what song should be next released as a single.
That's really cool. I like that. That's so, very strange, but very cool.
So what happens is this is what gets even weirder. We're not even at the kicker points. What happens is, and I learned this from a friend Rick also does this. People will buy like 15 copies of a single,
wow,
just to get more votes to get their this.
That's like very idol, very boy band.
It's weird, but this is where the article comes in. So this the article in Japan Times, like this guy got arrested. Because they found at the bottom of a ravine somewhere in, you know, some part of Japan, like 500 CDs.
Wow, that's good.
And he had his address in the box, and so they end up arresting. Like, why the fuck did you throw this out? Like, I didn't know where to put him. So apparently, like, him and his, like, friends or his group of people bought, like, 1,000 singles.
Jeez.
Like, collectively bought this. And they weren't buying it for the music, because they may have bought like one copy for themselves to hear, uh-huh. potentially. But even like with me, I will buy a song. This is not even a bad thing. I'll buy this. I'll rip it here digitally.
Yeah.
That's, again, you know.
Convenience. I like to have the physical thing.
Right.
But then I'm going to have the convenience.
I'll buy a physical thing at a concert, get it signed. But at the end of the day, this is nothing more than a weird plastic husk. And that's not a bad thing about music. That's just how I consume it. I will still buy vinyls. Mm-hmm. I have a rule of like, I have to at least be able to hear this in my car,
yeah.
on my phone, when I'm doing something else, my, you know, that. But, and so I thought about that as the idea of like I started doing the math, you know, mm-hmm. about $15 a pop for a single there in Japan. Yes, it's like
20, that's high.
They're like 23, like $25 is an average for a CD. It's weird. I won't go into the Japanese market. We will just leave that there and leave it there, because that's an entirely different discussion for an entirely different day. But you know, because I looked at really quickly what an average, you know, single would cost this band, started doing the math, and you know, I do the multiplication. I go like, holy shit, that's a shitload of money. And then I realized that it's like 5 people that bought 1,000 CDs. And I know that, you know, and I talked to a friend Rick, he's like, yeah, I ended up buying like 5 or 10 one time. I was like, okay, that's fine, I guess. And he told stories of people that would like have pictures of like all the plastic CDs on
a wallpaper.
And usually, typically, honestly, he was telling me that people typically just recycle them. But my brain goes, Well, hold on a second. Forget the idea of this guy buying 1,000 CDs and dumping them. That's already horrible enough that 500 were just that. Because he literally had his excuse was, I didn't know what to do with them. Which is like, that's fucking brilliant. Because it's like, that's not going to
true.
True. Because what are you going to do with you know, 500 CDs? I guess I'll just dump it in the bottom of
a ravine.
Fuji or whatever. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, put it in the ravine where no one will find it until snow melts.
That's very kind of E.T. in a weird way.
But yeah.
Like in the inverse way of like a success.
But so I go in the I say, like, this isn't a unique case for this, right? Isn't that like a bubble? I mean, isn't that like the definition of like a bubble where if just you lose, let's just say 10% of your audience, just sake of argument, mm-hmm. you know, let's say that an idol does something wrong and something mm-hmm. goes horribly off the rails, she gets political or whatever, you know, whatever, you know, doesn't go with the way the fans want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose a tenth of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many people are, like, I guess it's the idea of...
I think it also matter like what 10% you lose. Like,
right.
Is it like your ultra committed fans?
Right.
That's almost like making me think of, not trying to go too political, but like Western politics where like you have your general election voter,
yeah.
then you have your primary voters. And those are like the hardcore people.
Right. And I started thinking about that and going like, that's the definition of a bubble. Like that is what a bubble is. A bubble is the idea of here is a way that we can inflate physical CD sales, which is a, you know, props to every to all the Japanese business people that did this, because it's like that is how you make a shitload of money. You put some bullshit scheme on a CD, you know, you make a reason for fans to buy an album, and if you can make a reason for fans to buy multiple albums, that's even better because you don't care about necessarily like at that level. And again, that's not even at that level. You don't necessarily care about critical acclaim. You don't necessarily care about mm-hmm. whether or not a fan is going to like X, Y, or Z, not even a bad way. It's that you honestly are like, all right, how many physical, units can we ship? Because for some reason that tracks better or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever reason for it. It's like, that's such a weird way of looking at music and realizing like, that is just this bubble just waiting to burst because, you know, as that core demographic starts to age, as things go by, it's like, when is that going to just mm-hmm. poof? Sorry, I brought that up.
That's good. That's like the image is like sadly poetic in a way, like just dumping thousands of CDs in a ravine.
That's why
something.
It was such this weird thing of like, these are like plastic husks now. Yeah. I don't know, because
all their value has been taken out of them in this weird way.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Like eggshells.
Like, that's what felt weird about it, because I'm like, here I am as a person. I go like, well, I mean, do I do a similar thing? No, I buy one CD, I rip it, I listen to the music, I consume it, I enjoy it, I get it signed.
Keep it as a memento.
At the most, I have many things on many CDs on display. I have a few framed background there. There's a couple I'm working at frame more, and so I have a way of doing that with music, and so I consume it my way, and I celebrate and everything else. But I start thinking of just, you know, looking at what CD it's signed. For those of you who can't see it off screen, I haven't put it up yet. It's Random's 8-bit version of his first album, The Call. I got him this. He'd sold the signed copy, and I ended up buying it. I've had Raheem sign about a billion things now, and it becomes the point now where whenever he's in town, it's, you know, whenever he has time and we're sitting down and enjoying it, it's like, all right, cool. Let's get this. Let's do the signing thing and sure, you know, I jokingly say sure up all the signatures, because again, it's I have like what R&DM I have at least. I was in Japan, and I was telling it was this past Classic Game Fest. I was telling Kyle this, K Murdoch. Like I've bought Forever Famicom at least three times over in various forms, like CD and cassette tape and in digital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just it's funny thinking about this stuff. But let's actually start talking about you, Persona.
You just reminded me to make a note to buy a golden Sharpie for the night of.
You see, that's one thing I always have.
It's a CD release. I better be able to sign some copies. I
always come prepared with like 80 different Sharpies to the point where I think at Classic Game Fest I linked it everyone like here, but borrow a Sharpie because it's just like people.
Well,
like,
you're the real hero.
Well, because I make sure to bring it because
Roberto, MVP.
Well, because I know that nobody has them, and I'm like,
yeah,
just because I've had a point where like, well, I don't have a. Here you go. And I was like, cool, and it all got signed. But let's start talking about the album. So. I guess we could say, like, if you were to say lead song, would it be Hipster Girl now because of the video?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I want to do a couple videos, but yeah, that's the lead song. That's the one I think is most popular.
I love this cover. That's such a, I know you guys can't see it, but I'll go close to the camera really quick. If not, I'll cut a picture of it in here. But it's weirdly, I guess we could call it geeky Bee Gees. I don't know.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't know if that's the term because like you've got like you've got kind of like half of, okay, I got to ask so many questions. Why the mirror half skull?
I can't remember where it came from, but like that is like very much my aesthetic at this moment on this tour.
It's perfect.
I'm putting disco chips on everything. Is like that's the idea.
No, it's very, because I see it and I'm like, because I'll be honest, not even a bad way. Like if I saw this guy at a club, I may look at him strange, not in a bad way, just like okay, well that guy's got his is that obviously it's a performer, so I mean it's your persona and things like that, but it's. So let's kind of dig in. I've only heard Hipster Girl because the album doesn't come out officially until the
4th when Crunkwitch and Oh My show up and DJ Rockman
a friend of the show and fam of the show Vincent Banks and actually everybody there. I've had everybody but Oh My on the show. I need to get
to do list.
Yeah, I'll talk to Laurent next time I get a chance. So because you had the comic.
Yeah.
Book one, and we had chatted about that and all the different lives like that. And I think when we were talking, you talked about how like that kind of came about while you were working in, I think it was like an oil,
some type of
rig out in the middle of.
One track was I wrote on an oil rig, and so the comic related to that song was about my experience.
Right,
out there.
And kind of going through that and, you know, how long it takes. So I guess let's start kind of with this. What was your inspiration for, I guess, the next one, beyond the fact of, like, I got to make more music, I got to put some stuff out, and, you know, that.
The ultimate inspiration.
Right, the ultimate inspiration. Yeah, ultimate I wanted to eventually get paid and you know, release some new stuff and have more things to perform. But, like, when did you start began working on your new album?
So I've been working on this one, honestly, on and off for, like, 6 years, and I've just thrown a lot of stuff aside, and this is sort of slimming it down, cutting the fat, getting rid of the chaff, however you want to say it, to the music that I most liked writing and performing over the past 6 years.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it's like when it's like, benefited from like the long time cooking, I think.
Like when you say long time cooking, are we talking like a couple of years?
Yeah, like 2011. Well, I guess the oldest song on here, I think the oldest song on here is actually from 2007. That's very old. It was one of the first songs I wrote. That's Rock the Mic, the last song.
Interesting.
And that was literally the second song I ever wrote after I picked up the synthesizer again after putting it down in undergrad.
Wow, that is.
And it went through like a major retool because, you know, I wasn't very good. Shocking.
Well, I mean,
kind of on point.
Well, because I've talked with, like, yeah. I mean, you're not the first artist to ever say that. And for those who've never done anything, ever created anything, that's not an atypical thing for the creative process.
Yeah.
You know, kill your darlings, as they say, or be willing to, where you go, you hear something, this could be better. Or you come back years later and you're like, ugh, let me try that again. You know, you'll hear like I was talking with, I have had like, you know, various artists who told me like they've heard a song back that they were going to release for a new album, but they recorded that like song like years ago, and he's like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let me try taking another stab at that same track because I've now become a better performer. I now know how to do things better. And I can imagine since 2007 to now, you've had a lot of not just life experience just because of that, but just experience performing and singing and how you want to present yourself. You're like, okay. Like, I'm assuming that you didn't use the first version of that 2007 song.
Yeah, that one went really back in the incinerator. Actually, I pulled out my old laptop from undergrad, which is where, like, the demo was, because I was like, I'm just going to put it on and see what it's like. Maybe I'll put the demo online just as, like, a preview. I was like, no one can ever hear this. I need to set fire to this laptop.
No, none shall ever see this. Like, yeah, because I can imagine just...
The lyrics were also completely redone as well, so, like... Only a couple of core things made it. And they were like, you know, I had the good bass ideas for the hook, musically speaking, but the connective tissue, the lyrics, those just were not there at all.
No, and again, it's you looking back 7 years or you know, not even seven, 10 yeah. years, 10 years in the past, and hearing yourself then, and you know, flash forward 10 years now, and you've not only performed more on your own, you've performed with other friends, you've seen other artists, mm-hmm. you know, you've got an idea of like, this is the landscape I'm entering in. And again, even yourself, you're like, God, that's what I sounded like back at, because I can yeah. imagine when you heard that, you're like, that's what I sounded like back in 2007?
I thought I was okay back then. I was wrong.
No, and that's the point. That's the idea, is that you're not supposed to, like, if you listen to it in 2007 now, or listen to that song now that you'd made and never released in 2007, and you went like, yeah, that sounds okay. I was pretty good back. I was good back then. Or it's like, wow, that sounds like I imagine the fear would have been, wow, that sounds really, really good. What do I sound like now?
Yeah, like, have I not grown at all?
Exactly, because again, yeah. and that had to at least be somewhat reassuring mm-hmm. that yeah. you heard that and said, oh God, this is garbage. Oh wow, I've gotten better.
Yeah,
that, you know, that's got it's okay. So obviously, that was the first track. I put that in quotation mm-hmm. marks because. So when did you start like again getting the rest of stuff going? Just like when did you start revisiting all this to say, all right,
yeah,
now it's time to do this.
Yeah, so 2011 is when, you know, I first started getting serious air quotes about music in 2009-ish.
Okay,
I want to say maybe 2010, and then. No, I lied. It's 2014 that this album like really started to turn up.
That's fine.
That's when I started to like, because I've been playing these songs. Some of these songs were in the rotation, like Superstar had been in the rotation for right. a while. But that's when I wrote new stuff and started revisiting old stuff in earnest.
Okay, that makes sense. Because like, yeah. cause usually I mean, any creative work can go fast or slow depending mm-hmm. but usually I've heard like albums take about, you know, 3 or so years.
Yeah.
We've had many musicians on before, and in fact last week we talked about this with another gentleman. Things in music aren't always even about creating the song. Like you may have had like when we have a term in software, and you probably know it, things going, I mean, because it's different in music, because when things go gold in music, that means they've sold a shitload.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they've had, like, a gold master back in the days of, like, mm-hmm. if you remember the days of CDs.
Back in the day.
Back in the days when you bought video games on disc as opposed to, you know, spinning up Steam or whatever the hell eShop you have. They used to have what's called the gold master. So basically what they would have is sort of this master CD that was on like a gold printed gold version of it
mm-hmm.
that they would use to replicate all the pins oh. and shit like that. And so usually whenever you got your software done, you shipped it off, it went gold, and that would then start getting processed to make more copies, and then we all buy and yay, we get to play Unreal Tournament. But when it, you know, even that patch, so for a CD to go gold, so to speak, in that regard, or an album, it's not just creating songs, like you know, yeah. I assume you got this mastered in some capacity, mm-hmm. mixed, and yeah. everything else like that. So you started working in 2014, or started in earnest, you know, really buckling down and mm-hmm. whatnot. What was the song that came next then? Like when? I guess my question is, when did like if I were to look back, especially because I heard Hipster Girl recently, I saw.
Well, I would say all of them were written by 2014.
Okay,
or like in a preliminary stage, they just needed to be cleaned up, and some of them were, you know, all of the skeleton was there.
Okay.
But it was just cleaning things up and turning them into, like, real songs, more or less.
So what's the, if I were to ask, especially a theme, and I'm going in a lot of blind because it's like, I'm excited.
Well, as you might have gathered from the disco chips.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I'm like I said, it's weirdly Bee Gees, and I like
that's
it.
That's what I was going for,
right.
weirdly Bee Gees.
I like it a lot. It feels... like it almost feels like this, like almost like Greek writing. Like it feels mm-hmm. like 70s. And
yeah,
and
I want to give a shout out to the like people that helped me work on the art. Like I,
yeah, like everything looks really. I mean, again, it's very much you, and mm-hmm. I'm not even gonna say it in a bad way, and I'm saying it in a good way. It's very much you. I mean, we have you're like wearing like golden yeah. sneakers. Kind
the,
of
the graphic design, the lettering, yeah. the use of the color. That's Ted Anderson, who you've previously.
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh damn! Yeah, I know Ted Anderson.
Yeah, he is super good, and you know. The people who are listening aren't going to be able to see, but his use of color on the album was tremendous, because I like I knew what I wanted to do photography speaking. Like I knew I wanted to have the Bee Gees cover on the front.
Saturday Night, Night Fever, and like, okay, how can I be my version of Travolta? And I mean that in a good way. I don't mean that in like any bad way type thing.
And so like I knew there's going to be gold and there's going to be white. Right. That's like very disco.
Exactly.
And then Ted, and maybe we can put it like this in the show notes or something, a picture. There's like just a little bit of green in my glasses in the back.
Holy shit.
And that's the color he ended up pulling all the other places in the album.
Well, that's what I like a lot, is that there's this...
But like he pulls this... It's like just the right color to pull. And because I
like, like, it's
that.
This kind of weird blue sort of color.
Yeah, weird blue, green, teal.
But it works
something.
So well. I mean, like, that's why, like, it, you know, we talk about...
It's almost like he does that for a living.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about music, and well, I you know, I imagine the substance would be great in general. Not even going to, you know, ask about that, but...
Well, it's style over substance, so don't assume.
I assume that I'm going to get Persona, and Persona is a very, very, you know, there's a very unique thing to a Persona show that if you've never been to a Persona show that you don't understand. I usually say this for certain artists, and I'll always say as a joke, you're not prepared unless you've gone to a show. Like I'll say like, oh, this is your first show, you're not ready. And that's my way of saying be ready for anything, because anything can go down. And a Persona show, you know, it's very crazy. There's lights. We're talking about in the pre-show. There's lights, projectors, computers, music. I think my first show I saw of yours, I don't remember if I got dragged on stage or not, because you did the
I think I may have dragged you on for my encore.
Might have been the encore, because it was specifically Ninja Rap covered by amazing.
It was either your first or second show.
Right, first or second show, I got dragged on stage, because again, it was you're just doing cover Ninja Rap, so it's, you know, it's like lyric, you know, all these sort of things. If you've ever heard the Vanilla Ice song from, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, which is not, which, looking back.
Not the strongest in the series.
You would think.
But not the worst by far.
You would think, but then you forgot those were three.
Yeah.
Because like, I going into two as a kid, I'm like, this had to be, no, then they went back in time, because... Yep. Reasons.
Yep.
Not even like they just went back in time because they wanted to do it. They I almost want to believe that like that came out because Last Samurai did really well that year.
So, is that the year?
I don't know. I hope so, because there's no
be
other
like
reason
the
why to go back into feudal Japan. There was no other reason to bring in the turtles into feudal Japan and have like a white guy enemy.
Yeah.
There was no other reason.
Man, I really want to I've been wanting to revisit that for a while, because it sounds so strange in retrospect.
It is.
And
I'm sure
as a kid I ate it up.
I've tried to watch it again, and it's like, again, there's these weird moments in there that you watch back because you realize in that movie that they've gone back in time because three random monks had like prayed to have or four random monks, whatever, prayed to, like, you know,
heroes, whatever, or something,
to have our heroes, and they swap with them. And so, you know, it's the feudal Japan past, you know, storyline where it's save our little town in whatever part of Japan. On the flip side, it is this like fish out of water, show with the story with like Casey Jones like policing these four monks, and it's like, you know, like that's sort of like, oh look, it's the comedy relief because they don't know what the heck a pizza is, because it's not like it's the 90s where it's like here's cell phones, look TV, like it's all these sort of, you know, very sticky kind of things, and you realize like that's the other plot. And then they're like, I think there's like even like a love story thrown in there, and like some
that's
other
what I remember being like really weird. And
there's
out of
a lot
place.
Of weird shit, because then you don't realize that soundtrack. If you've ever bought the soundtrack, because I have the soundtrack, I had the soundtrack as a kid, and that was my introduction to like Tarzan Boy, and was it Rocking Over the Melody, Rolling Under the Beat? I forget who did that song. What did get into the group? Forget the group's name. It's a weird CD. It's a weird mix of like that, and like on there's also Turtle Power from the first one. You know, the rap song.
Naturally.
But it's a very weird collection of music, because you hear it, it's like, I don't even think half of this was in the movie, and if it was, I don't even remember where, because you hear it and it's like, why is it rocking over the melody, rolling under the beat? And it's like, why is this on there? What does this have to do with feudal Japan? Where does this, you know, why does Tarzan Boy here? What does this have to do with turtles going back in time?
I think that has, like, everything has the same level of disjunction in that whole philosophy. It's like a gumbo of a movie.
Unlike this album, because, like, kind of leading back to what I was trying to say and what I was trying to go on is that those sort of CDs themselves, especially when you look at the covers, like, it's just like picture whatever this.
Mm-hmm.
This itself is like a work of art.
Oh, thank you.
Well, because it's that thing that I see, I go, okay, this artist has something.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you presented me with this, I'm like, because I know.
I was very surprised at like how positive the reaction was. Well, I was not prepared for that level of positive reaction.
I was like, holy shit, this looks like I jokingly said it looks like a real CD. I didn't mean like, oh, I mean like, no, this is something that should be at Waterloo and like put there. And it's like, huh, what the hell is this? You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you guys played this yet? Yeah. Or it's like, no, we don't. That's interesting. Because you look at it and it looks like an album cover. And I know that's like mm-hmm. such a weird way of saying it looks like that. But if you think about, you know, this scene of nerdcore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is not even a bad thing of that. Some artists will ape on borrowing a very recognizable
mm-hmm. yeah.
video game trope. Even looking at just, you know, not to say anything bad about The Call, but even that looks very much reminiscent of like Ninja Gaiden. And it looks very yeah. much like that cover. Not a bad cover. It's a great cover and it works for that. But like you see this and, you know, we'll put a better picture in the video and a link to show notes kind of thing like that. But it's like, it screams, who the hell is this guy? Like if I didn't mm-hmm. know who you were and I wasn't aware of your music, I'd see this and go like, huh, that's a kind of cool cover. Okay. Well, he's got a style going on. And then you flip it open and it's like, oh, you know,
there's some ass.
Right. But again, it's
golden ass. Though.
Right. But it's very much, it's eye catching, but simple. And I know we're like talking about cover design now, and this is how I would be in music, but like at the end when it comes, you know, even if you do a performance at a show, people are going to buy your music. You want them to grab a CD and go like, huh.
That pops.
Right, and it pops. Yeah. And it's simple, though. It's simple in its way of popping. Mm-hmm. And I was going to point out like...
I mean, that kind of goes to, I don't know if we talked about this last time, like sort of my underlying persona philosophies. And one of them is there's more to the music than the music.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a big part of where the comic came from.
For
and
sure.
The fact that we got, you know, that you're really interested in talking about the album design is well, right up my alley
like
on
even,
that.
Even the color scheme is, like, we were talking about that earlier, but,
yeah.
like that blue,
that's all Ted, though.
It's really good. I'll put it this way. You got lucky in a good way in that, you know, we know people that mm-hmm. are I've learned that, you know, in this weird scene we call nerdcore here in Austin, like, it's just filled with hyper-talented people. Because, mm-hmm. like, I see this, and I go, yeah, this is an album cover. This is mm-hmm. the kind of thing that should be at a Tower Records. You know, I should go to – this is the kind of thing – and we'll get back to talking about the music in a second – that should be, like, an end cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this should be an end cap kind of thing where you go there, you see, like, the giant, you know, mm-hmm. 2D version of
yeah.
– like the giant paper version.
The cutout of me.
Exactly, the cutout of you just, like, buy my album. I don't even know if that
– buy my book.
Right, exactly. And it's
only if they put actual disco chips on the
but that's the thing is like that's the kind of and I think that's when I say why
oh man like I'm making another note to myself.
It's like I gotta all right if ever I if I don't know why I started thinking about this right now. It's one of my favorite things. I'm certain you've seen the movie not Tower Records, Empire Records.
Oh yeah,
I think every music person is like required to see that, and much like every, you know, '90s kid who's kind of into hacking was required to see Hackers. As horrible movie that it was, amazing soundtrack though. But I was thinking of the washed up music guy. I'm not saying that you're that guy, mm-hmm. but was it Rex? Rex, something like that. But
I'm getting a wire cross with High Fidelity right now.
That's another one. It's really hard. But I remember when he came to do his signing, he had like the cutout version of him like right next to it. Like
that's great.
which is always great. I love that. But yeah, I want to see a life-size cut mm-hmm. out of the Persona, just like right there, like, you know, only $14.99, you know, ready to buy. But let's go back. So obviously if you were to say kind of, so the theme is kind of disco, because, you know, looking at some of the songs, or Saver Songs, Hipster Girl, which is the music video.
The particular phrase that I'm enjoying using with the album is ersatz disco.
Okay.
Which I just like the word ersatz in front of disco a lot.
Because everyone has, every word should have disco.
Yeah. Disco's a great word.
Disco's such a weird genre in that, but like I'm very intrigued. All right, let's start digging into the music video, because as sort of a, you know, promotional mm-hmm. You know, and again, music, we're in an era now where I think music videos are coming back.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
But not in the way that you think. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think, like, I say that we're in an era where music videos are coming back is because we're now in an era where it's a heck of a whole lot easier to put video
exactly.
on places.
Yeah.
Whether it be YouTube, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Twitter, all that kind of stuff.
It's kind of like the explosion, I guess, starting a decade ago or so, with the ability to make music independently and release it independently.
Yes.
And video is starting to catch up.
Yeah. That's an interesting way of putting it, because, like, that's absolutely right, because, like, now...
Like, previously, you know, YouTube's been around for a little while, but the ability to make it on your own was still very challenging.
Well, yeah, the equipment's gotten way cheaper. Yeah. You're able to execute, you know, make a professional-looking video that, because I've seen, you know, but prior to the interview today, I watched the Hipster Girl video. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. let me actually find it, because I had meant to check it out prior. I was like, let me check it out right now, and I was like, wow, this is a, I mean, yeah, I recognize it doesn't straight, and I recognize where the location is. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. this is a solid video. This is a, you know, well-shot one. It's well-lit, everything, all these sort of things. Song's already catchy. Every, you know, mm-hmm. all these things are working for this music. I'm like, this is a legit video. And
shout out to John Knudsen and Christopher Lundberg. I hope I pronounced it.
How long was
properly.
the shoot for that? Like,
one day.
Wow,
it was like 6 hours.
Wow,
and then
it's not bad.
There are some outside shots at the beginning of the video that sort of established the locale.
Right,
those were done over an hour, like at the end of the day. So
yeah,
that's not, an extra hour.
That's not so bad. But yeah. that's 6 hours. That's not.
Yeah, it was like it was a little mini marathon for me as the director, producer, and also in some of the scenes. Like. You're going to see some videos in the future that are not going to have as much of me in it if I'm directing it.
No, and that's fair. It's a music video.
It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I bet. Because, again, the song is cool, because it's for those who are curious what the song's about, it's the video
your
itself.
Your typical Austin, Austinites.
Yeah, it's very much like this, like about this girl who I guess you're enamored with, or, mm-hmm. or the singer is enamored with, and... For lack of better words, she's a hipster, and obviously, like, hipster girl, of course, like, you know, I mean, like, to the point where it's, you hear it, and it's like, it's obscene, like it's, when you say hipster, I mean, like, you hear it, like,
all of it,
oh, that kind of girl, oh, that kind of person, okay, and if you've ever kind of grown, you know, been in a town, especially Austin, which is Austin's a weird town in that, you know, like the, there's a joke I have during South By, and I tell my friends this. I only tell very select friends this because they don't. The only select friends get the joke. But it's a game you can play during South By Music called Hipster or Hobo.
Oh yeah,
and it's the idea of whether you because I've been in line. I was in line for Japan Night, and some guy came by. I could have sworn he was homeless, but I know he's a hipster, and he was telling me about. Like some other thing he was going to. I couldn't even tell you what, who, why, what genre. He didn't even go into genre or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He just started saying artist names. And I mean, again, South By, you're going to hear a lot of artist names you've never heard about, and that's totally cool. That's awesome.
Yep, that's
great.
What's up with that.
But like, I'm in line for another concert, and here he is just telling me, like, yeah, man, what are you like? I don't was even like promoting anything. I was like, I was just kind of in line, just hanging around or something. And he's telling me about like, this other show that he's going to go to. And he didn't even say where. He just said, like, the artist. And the artist sounded like... I couldn't even tell you the name of the artist. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you. But it's that one thing where it's just like, when you hear somebody that's... Like, I say, like, stereotypical X.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people who are hipsters, or, you know... Like, again, everyone, if you're into whatever you're into... Keep being into what you're into. Like, mm-hmm. it's not me judging. But you know when you hear that guy that's like, oh, oh, that's where the stereotype comes mm-hmm. from.
Yeah.
Like, that's the subject of this song.
Yeah.
Was that your last song of the album? Was that your first? Like, obviously, it was the first one.
You mean writing-wise?
I guess I'm curious.
Actually, now that you mention it, it's either the next to last or the last song I wrote for the album.
Interesting.
In terms of, like, you know, getting the bare bones skeleton there, like I said.
That's interesting. I mean, again, it's because it's...
The other one was...
It's a very... Yeah, because it's a very catchy song. Like, it's definitely the kind of song you'd want to have a single for. Mm-hmm. Like, it pops. It has all the things that a quote-unquote lead song mm-hmm. should have. It's the song that you can... that I know that I could present to some friends of mine who may have never heard you mm-hmm. and say, here's the persona. Like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's good. That has that in the video. It's very stylistic. It's basically set as a sort of a speed dating mm-hmm. session happening. And it's a very, you know, very simple shot kind of thing, but it's a lot of these kind of very strange juxtapositions mm-hmm. where it's like you have businesswoman, guy in you know, in animal suit,
mm-hmm.
definitely sex dominatrix person. And it's like, and they're all being paired up, you know, as their own characters in this speed dating thing.
Because
mm-hmm. even like some of the outtakes at the end, it's like the two business people like hook up and they're like, all right, I got 15 minutes. I could squeeze in 15 minutes to do this. Like, I got 15 minutes free. All right, let's make up. You know, and it's just like very quickly, yeah. and it's like, you know, cut, whatever. But it's like...
They were so good. That was like such a good performance on their part.
It was great. But it's a cool video. I mean, it makes sense for the song because it's the idea of like, you know, you've met this girl and she's vegan and she's this. She mm-hmm. has a violent... Like all the things you...
I was
trying
to go with like... The song is very much about a stereotype.
Yeah.
Here's even more stereotypes is what I was going for.
Yeah, because like, even at a point, like, she sings. And who's the female vocalist on?
Alice in Space.
Okay.
And she's also in the video.
Oh, okay.
Same person. And she's been out traveling the world recently. She was an Austin singer-songwriter for a long time.
I'd like to say I've heard of her, but I don't think I've ever seen her perform.
She's come out with something recently, but I think she might be taking a break with music just because I haven't seen her post anything for a while.
Okay.
But...
That's fair. Yeah. And again, everyone takes a break, whatever. But the name sounds familiar. I'll put it mm-hmm. that way. But like even she comes in and how like this is a song written, you know, mm-hmm. I asked this guy to write a song about me. And it's just like, mm-hmm. like she, like, or it's like she's working on 80, you know, 80 billion projects, but hasn't finished any, you know, like all these sort of things that mm-hmm. you would associate with the stereotype. And I love that this is that's like, you know, it feels kind of jokey mm-hmm. in that regard. And that's mm-hmm. the point of it. But It's one of those songs like, yeah, this is the persona. This is exactly what it is. And I'm now like,
I will say like that was probably one of the dominant like in changing my aesthetic, because like I said, it was one of the last songs I wrote for the album, and the other tracks, you know, they're, you know, one of the songs is another disco song. I actually might be lying. That might have been the last one.
Okay,
but like just moving towards the disco element, Hipster Girl is less, to me, less disco than it is French House, and maybe I'm one of the few people that cares about the distinction.
No, it's fine. But, well, because, like,
if you know Stardust, the music yes. sounds better with you, like, that was, like, the template for Hipster Girl.
Okay.
Like, that very airy synth it's got going on, and if you listen to Hipster Girl, it's got, like, this weird little synth sound at the end of every measure. Do-do-do-do-do. Like, that was a placeholder. I was supposed to go in, like, with a little guitar, do some, like, Prince action or some cheek, and I get a... I was like, you know what, that sounds pretty good. I'm just going to leave
it. Well, because I think that's what's interesting about the modern approach to disco. And I say the modern approach, meaning there's really no... Yeah.
House, post-house kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. All the stuff, because you think of disco as the format that played at the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it is very much the music of that era, of mm-hmm. that time. Like you could do, like if you were to do disco now... Like you have to do, you know, with a synth. Like I think mm-hmm. the closest you get to modern disco that is of that era is you know, Random Access Memories. You know, the only is Daft Punk, and that's mm-hmm. as close as you get. Mm-hmm. And even that is like they got there because they had already, you know, mm-hmm. sampled every other disco vinyl that they could in Discovery, and mm-hmm. they're like, we have to make our own now.
Yeah.
We've sampled it all. And you realize that when they started hiring all these, like, oh, you worked on, you know, the Chic, you worked on this and that. But if you do it now, and I think that's why I was like, this is cool. This is very much that. you know, it does, you know, Hipster Girl sounds like disco in that that is what plays the clubs now. It, mm-hmm. It's sort of this, you know, very synthy, very house kind of stuff like that. And I go, no, mm-hmm. And this is like, but it has a, that vibe of like this song that, you know, for lack of better words, can be spinning, can play it at a club, at you know, while you're drinking, you know, taking a drink, doing a dance, whatever, all those sort of things you do at a club. I say that because I'm going to go to clubs. But it still has that kind of geeky feel. It still has mm-hmm. that, you know, very much an inside thing, because it is, you know, if you listen to the beat, like, oh, this has a good beat, I can, you know, dance to it. But then you start listening to the lyrics, like, oh, he's describing that, you know, like, you mm-hmm. know exactly who he's describing, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, and I like, and if that's your lead track, I'm already I'm realizing like we're almost at the hour mark.
Oh wow,
yeah, it's already gonna be 7:53. we've been casting for a while, which is mm-hmm. great. I'm already excited for this damn album, and I'm kind of excited that I have it now, and I'm able to see it now, and consume it, because when I had saw the post of like, hey, I'm having a new album come out, because it was like right around the time that Crunkwitch was working on their new album, and I'm like,
yeah, it was a weird, it was like a very interesting coincidence that we're playing together, because
yeah,
I was literally just sent the email to Dozen Street. I was like, hey, do you have something available for like the 18th of November? It was like the target date I was planning on. And then like literally within minutes, Crunkwitch was like, hey, what are you doing on the 4th? Well, I can make some changes to my plans.
Yeah, because like that is
because like, they were on like my mental list.
Oh yeah,
know?
No, that's why they are on, like, there are artists that I say are in your face in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
You're one of them.
I feel that kinship. Yeah,
yeah. Crunkwitch is one.
And they
of
also
them.
Have lights at their live show,
right?
Which is
exactly.
Thing
they are very much you can hear their music and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But going to performances is an entirely different thing. Much like with you, your music's cool and I enjoy it. But going to a persona show is in your face. It's there. It's raw. It's whatever you want it to be. I'm really curious, and I got to ask now, is this a makeup effect, or do you have something made?
Those are, and I'm going to give a shout out to the other two people that worked on the album, which are Cody Smith and Megan McMahon. She's the photographer. She also did the color correction on the video.
I gotcha.
Which was, she did a great job because she intentionally made it look kind of like an Instagram filter.
Right.
Which is perfect for the hipster.
Yeah,
girl.
Yeah, no, it worked out perfectly.
Anyway, so Cody used to work at House of Torment. I know him through PWR.
Okay.
So he has like makeup experience. And I reached out to him, like, was like, hey, if I want to make my head look like a disco ball, how do I do that? He's like, oh, that's easy. And it is easy, actually. You put Prozade on my head and painstakingly put disco chips on my head for 30 minutes or so.
Because my question is, and this is my question, and maybe I'm going to force you to write another note. Are you going to have something like this at the show?
Oh yeah. Like that's a long-term plan. My big regret on the album is that, so like I planned the photo shoot for months. Like I had the idea of what I wanted to do.
I
had everything lined up.
I so hope you have like 80 billion pictures to, like, I so hope you have like,
we're going to have like some outtake pictures go up shortly too.
That's what I was saying. Like, I hope you have, some saved, because if nothing more for your, cause like, this is the kind of, again, this is the kind of thing that you, that when it comes to like this kind of photo shoot, and it's weird because mm-hmm. I say it's perfect because it's the kind of thing that whenever, let's say, a paper comes to you mm-hmm. and says like, or, you know, let's say for example, that you just need to put out a press release or something like that, or press kit, that kind of bullshit thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of image that goes in the press kit.
Yeah.
Cause that says everything I need to know about visually about the persona. And it's such a
disco and silly, which
it's,
is kind of,
that's
what
I'm saying. It's one of those things. I'm like, look at this damn cover. I'm like, fuck, that's a damn good cover. And I'm excited now because I've heard this. Now I'm like, I know the music's gonna be good, cause I'm well aware of your songs. I'm not worried about that. But when I still think about, I always wonder, how is it that I'm going to introduce friends mm-hmm. or people who I know are going to like music? And sometimes, as hard as it sounds, sometimes you judge a thing by its cover.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
whether
true.
Whether or not you know it's fair or not, doesn't matter. It's just you just do it. It just happens. It just does. Sorry, that's the nature of mm-hmm. the business. You know, You want to make sure someone goes, you know, again, goes, huh, you know, looks at it at least. Because they look at it, they go, well, it's not, you know, okay, that's weird. At least they remember the name. They, even though they'll buy it, they go like, oh, the persona. Well, let me look him up on the phone.
Yeah.
Let me hear a sample. Oh, okay. Because even if he hears on Spotify, you know, or something like that, yes, it's not as much money and everything else like that. But he goes, well, that's kind of catchy. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, he's playing tonight? I don't think do a five, you know.
Yeah.
Put all the things together. This is how music gets, you know, or you go to YouTube, you're like, oh, that's a funny video. Yeah, let me pick up the CD one. Yeah, it's like, yeah, at $10. There you go. You know, here's $10. Pick it up, walk off. You know, all because you saw a cover that looked cool. Because if you think of music and all, especially.
You're bringing me back to like the CD days when I would go to like the discount bins. I'm like, I'm just going to buy every one thing that looks cool.
But that's the point because yeah. like you look at, unless if you did, if you were a kid growing like me in the suburbs, it wasn't like. It wasn't like I knew who the fuck Nirvana was.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I may have heard maybe Smells Like Teen Spirit, but it's like you see that cover of Nevermind, and it's like, mm-hmm. What's this baby doing swimming? And, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Like, those are, you know, there are covers that we talk about still. Like, we still talk yeah. about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band pick photo because this giant photo collage. Mm-hmm. People still talk about that album cover.
Mm-hmm.
And. It's one of those things where you look at like, oh yeah, that's the Beatles, or even like, oh yeah, that's this and these sort of things. And I look at mm-hmm. that cover and I realize I'm stressing over a cover. That's because I haven't heard all the music yet, and I can't say my favorite track yet. I kind of have a weird way of consuming music. It takes me time. It's a legit album cover, and I keep saying that, and I mean that with everything.
On the subject of tracks, the yes. one I want to get your opinion on is track one. At some point,
I will. I guess it like
in fact that. I guess we don't have a situation where we can set up to stream it right now, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, sadly, we can't, but I will.
I should have thought about
it. I'll definitely. It's okay. It's cool, because I'm definitely going to, like, when this interview's over, when we're all done recording, tonight, what's going to happen is I'm going to rip the CD. I'm going to put it in my iTunes collection. I'm going to realize that I'm going to have to rename all the tracks because it's probably not iTunes yet. I guess I should ask, is this just be physical release or is it going to see it everywhere on the planet?
It's going to have a digital distribution,
yeah.
which will start on October 31st because that's when I thought the music video was going to drop.
Oh.
Which is probably for the best anyways because, like, you know,
yeah,
competing with Halloween's, that's a big sell. Yeah. But that's when Grace Notes and all that stuff should automatically take care of things.
That's so cool because, like, it's I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited that I have an early copy, in a hyper early copy, because, you know,
that was my personal copy,
which is I'm thankful for this. Thank you so much, by the way. And I'll probably still buy a copy come that.
No, don't.
Let's see who gets thanked. Let's see any names. I don't care if I'm not thanked, but DJ Rockman's on there. Let's see. Wow, everyone's on there. I know at least five of these people. That's cool. I realize I'm looking at this now, but I'm excited for you to release new music, first and foremost, because you're my friend. I'm excited as a fan because your music's cool. And I'm excited that I know that if I were to see it, not knowing who you are, if I wasn't aware of what the persona was or anything in that regard and what the music stood for, just seeing this was all I needed to know. And mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing, like I said as a joke, but I mean it seriously, like... It is the thing you put on a website. It's mm-hmm. it is the photo shoot you put there, because this is all. While the music is something you should hear and consume mm-hmm. and everything else and enjoy and like and that, if I were just going cold, and I saw this, you know, this cover, this guy, I'm like, okay, I think I have this guy's number, in that I think I know what I'm going to get, and I'll flip the track and I'll look at the track numbers. I go. Okay, I think I know this guy's real number. I think I understand this guy. I'm gonna go pick this up because this is the kind of nerdcore. Like, nerdcore is this genre that
ever expanding, ever growing.
Yeah, and it's fun to be a part of this, like in the way that I am, and that I have now friends who are musicians. I have you know, part of the NPC is sort of this weird. You know, I jokingly call myself a support unit because I don't make music, and I'm like, you know, I'm just a mm-hmm. fucking podcaster. But it's cool to be part of the genre and just see just stuff like this
mm-hmm.
next to stuff like that over there, next to stuff behind me, and to go, like, this is all part of this. Like, I am honestly, like, I almost wish I could have heard this before the interview, because I would have had a lot more substance. So I'm definitely going to get you, once the CD drops again and, mm-hmm. and that, maybe a little bit time after, I'm definitely going to get you back on, and we'll kind of chit-chat about mm-hmm. a little bit more in depth on
Well, we might. I'm gonna, like I said, I'm planning on doing music videos, so we could also like time it.
Yeah, when,
like
when a new music video drops, we'll get you back on because again, I hearing Hipster Girl already and going like, okay, I'm already excited because this is like, again, it's there are ways I consume music. I know how I'm gonna consume this just because I know me. I'm probably gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gonna play a song again, not because I want to necessarily hear anything else. It's because I know how I meander a lot. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, it's there's only so many and you know, don't take this in any bad way. There's only so many albums now that follow the idea of being like. There's only so many albums like Dark Side of the Moon in yeah. that. This was designed to be heard straight on through.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It's just in a, that was how the vinyl worked. That's how the record spun.
Yeah. That album is, my album is like very conspicuously not designed around that.
Right. Exactly.
We're not in that era. And like,
we're not in that era anymore. We're not in the era of the album. And that's not even mm-hmm. a bad thing. That's just, mm-hmm. that's just the nature of things.
Yeah. It
so
is.
Because of that, I tend to meander. I tend to go and say, all right, well, hear this track next. Let me let's get back here. Let me go back here. That kind of thing. But I'm excited to hear. Like, I do want to hear the first song. I'm excited to hear everything on here because again, it's just like I'm just excited and that's all I'm gonna say right now. I'm still laughing at this. God damn it. This is solid, dude. Persona. Let's say people want to actually buy all this, even though they see the cover and they want to pick it up because the beauty part about music is you don't have to be physically here to grab a CD. You can get it where can people find the album is going to be called is the Persona Style Over Substance. And it's available. Let's see. It's going to be, where is it not going to be? Let's, ooh. That might be the easier thing. Where can I not find your album?
So it probably not will be general distribution in stores. Okay.
So you probably won't find it at your local Target or yeah. your Walmart. Although that would be kind of funny.
I'm going to try to get it at the Waterloo here in town because if yeah, they do that,
I think that'd be kind of cool. I think you could easily do that. I'm certain you could talk with them. And
it should be at basically every meaningful online distribution
iTunes,
source. Amazon. Yeah, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Google Play,
right.
all those. I'm going to sell it through. Physical copies through Bandcamp and through my website.
That's a good idea. That's
I might look at a couple others, but those are like
those are the big
people
ones.
Who want to buy physical stuff. They yeah, go to the band's page.
Exactly.
Or
you go to Bandcamp. You get a digital copy of that one. It's funny because I'm so used to buying music on Bandcamp now, but that's just because all the nerdcore stuff is on there. But it's mm-hmm. it's cool. But yeah, either way, you'll be able to consume this no matter where you are in the world. You should be able to do this. Listen to the new album. It drops digitally October 31st. You said, right?
Yes.
So 31st, it'll drop digitally, or physical, or you know, Bandcamp as well. And yeah. if you happen to be in the Austin area on November 4th,
yes,
at what time? 6, 7?
I think the show formally starts at 9.
9. Okay.
Doors at 8. We promise we're starting on time. I know y'all think it's going to be rock time. It's not. We're starting on time.
You're starting
because we ran into that last album release. We're starting on time, buddies.
Yeah, because there's on time, there's rock time, and then there's oh wait, there's people. I mean, because it's at the Dozen Street there. I forget where physically it is in Austin.
12th and Chacon.
12th and Chacon, right there. It's there. There's
I think it's 1808 Chacon.
Yeah, it's a really really cool venue.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's my favorite dive bar.
There's this dive bar. There's like food trucks on the other side. So mm-hmm. you know if you want to grab some food, you can grab some food. Either way, come by the show because it's you, it's DJ Rockman, it's Crunk Witch, it's gonna be a good time. And Oh My as well. Yeah. All three. Very, very talented.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Besides the Persona, you know, if you want your nerdcore crazy night, head over to the Dozen Street show at 9 p.m. on November 4th. If you have to be in Austin, and if you're not in the Austin area, like I said, 31st, go buy.
Check out the video, guys. If you're
yeah,
the video's
on your YouTube channel, youtube.com/thePersona.
The Persona Music.
The Persona Music. Okay.
Yeah, that's sort of. There's a couple of people out there, shakes fist at the sky. That are on Twitter and they're the persona. They're just the persona.
That's why you pay to get. That's why you eventually pay to get verified if you care enough.
Yeah. The Persona Music is like my online.
This is your online handle
just because it's like consistent and no one
no,
had that.
That's
because there are some you know, Because people just have handles, even if they're not a musician. You know, yep. You play games, you have a handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely.
Yeah, it took me a while to get...
You're on Twitter, you have a
Vincent
handle.
Vincent 404 is my default one.
I wanted to ask you, where does that come from? I don't know if I've heard this story.
I'm going to save that story for the post show.
Okay.
I'll go in after the show. So that in mind, people, thank you so much for watching the show. Of course, you can catch previous podcasts at our website, cosmicradiotv.com/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes I've had him on before. In fact, we talked about his last album.
Yep.
And after you've bought all the music from Persona come October 31st, and you look in your pocket, say, look, I've got a bucket 50 left over. Go to patreon.com/8bitlife and help show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that's it for today. So tune in next time when I talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.